Hi, this is Mortain again. It's Tuesday, March 21st, and I've got a few more reviews from the archives. The first one is Survival in Auschwitz, which I apologize for not being able to pronounce this word, but I'm just like that. The author's Primo Levi. The synopsis. Primo Levi was interred in a concentration camp in concentration camp Auschwitz in 1943. He survived 10 months in the camp until the guards withdrew, taking all the healthy prisoners with them. He survived the remaining 10 days with no infrastructure and a constant threat from other prisoners and returning guards until the camp was officially freed and the prisoners rescued. Opinion. The good. This is a Holocaust survivor story, so you don't expect it to be cheerful. Levy tells his story plainly and without melodrama. He never hides the truth about morality and ethics become in a dehumanizing environment like the camps. The bad. There were significant gaps that I wanted filled in with this book. For instance, Levy devotes an entire chapter to thanking a civilian man for helping him without personal gain, for making him remember what it is to be a man. This civilian was obviously important to Levy and significantly changed how Levy survived the rest of his internment. But Levy thanks him for what he did without really explaining how these transactions took place, without heightening the tension for the reader to understand who this man was, who helped him, or how much personal risk he went to. This dehumanizing of even the most human elements of the book made it difficult to sympathize with the speaker. The ugly. Well, there were certainly a lot of ugly in this book. It's a concentration camp story, after all. Again, my main frustrations are with the gaps, the things that were left out. Periodically, Levy mentions the women, who the prisoners know are in a camp nearby, and how are they being treated. But he doesn't address the question personally. The women are abstract, a cipher. We are not made to care for them as people enough to understand why the heart aches for them as humans. I think that part of the problem I have is that Levy survived the experience towards the end of the camps, when everyone knew what awaited you at Auschwitz. Other Holocaust stories present the web of lies told to the prisoners to make them more quiescent to their fates, but every man walking into the camp at this point knows he is there to die, and most give up their humanity within just a few weeks. Grade, B minus. Strong recommendation, well written, with some flaws that make it a little less fun to read. My second review is for Black Horses for the King by Anne McCaffrey. Now, I have to preface this one with, this is a young adult novel, and I was as hard on it as I am with adult novels, and I really was unfair with it, but even for a YA novel, I would have still given it a pretty low grade. Synopsis. Galway is a teenage English boy in 8th century, or perhaps earlier, Arthurian Britain, whose father was Roman educated and who subsequently knows how to read and write, can speak many different languages, and knows everything about horses, and who helps invent horseshoes during the novel. This takes place in the early days of King Arthur's ascendance, before Arthur had even met Guinevere. It's a historical adventure novel rather than an Arthurian fantasy or romance. No magic involved. The good. It's short. Honestly, that's all I can say. Others have claimed that it's also a good YA book for boys, but I would like to believe that even teenage boys deserve better writing than this. The bad. I've never consciously decided to stop reading a book because it was so bad, but this one sorely tempted me. I made it to 50% today at lunch, so decided to just finish the thing and be done with it. I think Anne McCaffrey can no longer write. I wish she would retire and tell stories to her grandchildren or something. She clearly thinks she still has stories to tell, but she's wrong, and she's forgotten how to tell them in any sensible and meaningful way. The ugly. This is dreck. The writing is just awful. Here's an example. That was when I noticed the narrowed gaze of a slightly built lad not much taller or older than myself. He was staring across the brazier fire. A Carnovian. His glance was surly, his narrow head cocked to one side as he appraised me, and his thin mouth turned down in a supercilious sneer. I was to learn shortly that his name was Iswi. My first impression of him was of a sly and devious fellow, envious of any attentions that he did not get to share. I never had occasion to change my opinion when our tasks put us in closer association. The entire book is filled with this tell-don't-show prose, where first impressions are always right, and where the narrator feels and is self-aware enough to identify his every feel instinctively, whether someone is good or bad, noble or base. I keep wanting for any kind of dramatic tension, the above paragraph setting up the inevitable conflict with what must surely be a very coarse bully is the only example of tension so far, and as you can see, it's so badly written that you have this kind of who-cares reaction to it. Every other tension she established has been wiped away very quickly by Comus Artos, King Arthur, the object of the narrator's affection and hero worship. Grade F. Avoid this book. My third review, The Autobiography of Martin Luther King, Jr. This one was an audiobook. It was read by LeVar Burton, which was a wonderful choice, I felt. Author, Martin Luther King, Jr. Synopsis. The life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., starting with his first job as a minister in Montgomery, Alabama, and continuing through the civil rights struggle through Vietnam. The audio version of the book has recorded speeches of Dr. King's, which is very stirring and breaks up the pattern of LeVar Burton's reading. Opinion. The good. What's great about this book is the timing. I could not have picked a better time to read it, though I suspect that there will always be civil rights struggles around to make this topical. Dr. King is very earnest, consistent, at times even repetitive with his message, but it's a message worth listening to. He makes a moral argument that one should not strike against injustice with violence, and backs it up with countless instances where nonviolent resistance produced effective results. I did at one point come to an understanding about the role of white moderates in the civil rights movement that I hadn't understood before, and I am grateful for that. Finally, I could see why my reaction to learning about the civil rights movement was so out of sync with those of my black classmates. Anyway, it's a great book, and especially appropriate to listen to during Black History Month, and when the issue of gay civil rights is in the nation's focus. One has to believe that, at least based on his own words throughout this book, he would have embraced gay marriage rights as the next logical step in the civil rights movement, but that he would have been far more concerned about the rights of the disabled, the elderly, and the right to be free from poverty that is still not a reality for millions of people of all races. I think Dr. King would be embarrassed by the state of our country today, but I think he would have also been overwhelmingly proud of how far we have come. The bad. I think Dr. King overlooks the effectiveness of the Black Power movement and the usefulness of leaders like Malcolm X. While I personally don't believe Malcolm X was right, I do think he was right now, and that he was a black leader who could see the limits of the effectiveness of nonviolent resistance. The problem with nonviolent resistance is that it's only effective until people start to ignore it. We are now living in a time when demonstrations go unheard, where a march on Washington is scheduled for nearly every week, and where legislative and court actions are the only ways civil rights can be upheld and protected in this country. Dr. King's belief that legislation and peaceful demonstration are only needed and effective until that legislation and peaceful demonstration were both needed has been shown incorrect. Peaceful demonstration is only needed and effective until there are so many people ignoring you, your voice simply cannot be heard. The ugly. There wasn't much. I didn't understand when I started listening to it that the different chapters would be introduced with music from the Freedom Movement, but once I got the hang of that, it was all right. Grade. A. Very well written, with powerful ideas that could take a lifetime to understand. Those are my three book reviews for today. I posted these in February of 2004, so sooner or later we'll catch up. Oh, I'll bonus one. Even Grews Get Full, by J.D. Iliad Fraser. This is a collection of comic strips from the webcomic UserFriendly, that's userfriendly.org, that were published in 2001. It includes the 9/11 tribute strips. My particular copy was a gift from the cartoonist who signed it for me when he came out to San Jose in January 2004. UserFriendly is a comic by, for, and about geeks. The good. It's a very funny book and takes me down nostalgia lane to a time when jokes about living in a missile silo were funny. This book has the 9/11 tribute strips, which are heart-wrenching even when they are funny. I remember reading UserFriendly after 9/11 and just being overwhelmed by how right on Fraser's sentiments were. I found that to be true with many issues near and dear to my heart. UserFriendly knows just the right things to say. The bad. Some of the geeks are even above my Some of the jokes are even above my geek IQ, so I don't always get them. Unfortunately, some are way below my maturity level. Sorry, but missiles and random hardware up the butt jokes just aren't funny to me. I suppose there are many for whom that is funny, but not me. Fortunately, Fraser's humor is not limited to one-trick ponies, so there's a decent amount of variety. The ugly. Too much of any good thing can be bad for you. This is especially true in humor. Probably the biggest complaint about user-friendly is that it's repetitive. Frequently there will be a joke of the week that is essentially the same structure repeated over and over again with different variations until the storyline is exhausted. It helps to read one storyline, finish it, and then stop reading for the night. Grade. B+. Strong recommendation, well written, with some flaws or predictability that makes it less fun to read. And that's a wrap for today, and I hope you enjoyed our book reviews from Mortaine.